gentlemen, welcome to Punta Vista. It's a bonus episode. I'm Theo, and I'm in this enormous rolling ball of people. It's just a whole bunch of people, heads all in the middle, legs on the outside, and we're rolling around. And the ball is psychic. It's actually very potently psychic. It's using our life energy to reach out and cause destruction on a local, potentially like a county scale. I don't know what happened before this. I can only kind of make assumptions based on the items that I carry with me and how I'm dressed. I kind of got like a little dorky pocket square shirt on, some jeans. I think maybe I was in IT before this psychic ball rolled me over and incorporated me into its fleshy mass. Also here with me in the psychic ball is Ben. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How you going?
I'm great. I love being in the ball.
I love being in the ball too. And I'm not sure whether that's my own thought or just like the positive vibes that the ball kind of sends out to stop us from rebelling from the ball.
I think that's kind of the distinction without a difference, because if the vibe is positive, then the vibe that's infecting me is positive, then it is a positive vibe. You know what I mean? Positive.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you separate it? And also, I don't think there's anything actually keeping us in here apart from we like it here in the big rolling psychic flesh ball.
Can I ask you a sincere question? Because I don't want to get laughed at. You know the Japanese video game where you roll around and you pick
Katamari,
stuff up?
Yeah.
Can you say the second word in the name of that video game?
I can't, no. Damacy?
What's it called?
Katamari Damacy?
Damacy?
That's how they say it on the game. That's how they say it on the game.
Damacy.
I've never played Damacy. The game.
Because I've tried to make a pun on that on this podcast before, and people have laughed at the way that I have pronounced it.
Yeah, fuck them.
So I wanted
to try
and do one.
Playing Japanese pervert games.
Yeah.
All rolled up in a ball.
Play a good game from the West instead of the East.
Yeah. I also don't think their ball is made of trash, and I don't think it's psychic.
No. I mean, I'm not saying it's literally the same. I think you can make sort of associative connections to form a pun. It doesn't have to be very literal.
Yeah. All right. Also with us is Lucy.
Hey,
Lucy.
Hey. So is this kind of like a Rat King situation? We're just all connected, or is this
we're all connected, but not because of like a lack of hygiene or anything. Like at some point, the ball ran over us.
Like a velocity.
Yeah, we just popped into the ball, and it's all just like holding us together in a big wriggly mass. And occasionally, one of my feet touched the ground, and I get to kick off.
Ooh.
Kind of contributing to the ball's locomotion. What?
Let's make this thing faster. Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm asking people to please stop doing that. Can we please just stop kicking it off? Like, be serious.
I don't think so, because every time that I do kick off in the direction that I assume is my own free will, but always seems to be in the direction of that the ball is
like
going.
It feels like it's your free will, doesn't it?
It feels like it's my free will. And every time
like
I do.
It feels like making a decision.
Yeah. I get like this release of dopamine.
And I'm saying, stop it, guys, stop it. Don't.
We picked up the wet blanket.
Do you think you're
Lucy's dead weight in this huge, fleshy psychic ball?
Do you think your like liver worries about whether or not it's doing stuff of its own free will or just as part of your body?
My liver?
Well, I mean, like just like a component of your body. Like you're a component of the sphere. I'm a component of the sphere. How do you distinguish between the free will of like what is?
I don't think a liver has free will, and I'll tell you why. unlike
it's
a person,
liver theory.
Yeah, unlike a person which has a brain, and as far as we know, is indivisible. Right, you've got body and you know stuff, but it, you know when you get up to the top there, there's a brain. You can't cut it in half and make two brains that work and two selves and two sets of free will. But with a liver, you can. You can chop a liver into two. Now you've got two livers having their own thoughts and feelings side by side. And I think that that's an indication that they cannot have free will and that they arrive at where they're going through kind of some mass consensus of cells.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
It also relies upon an understanding of consciousness that it's explicitly tied to the physical structures of the brain in a way that we can identify, which I don't think we have.
Yeah, I do. I think we have that.
Where is it?
We've got a new entrant into the ball. It's Andrew. He's got his phone with him and out so he can actually see the screen.
Lucky, now, but how long's that battery going to last?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. That's a rookie mistake, thinking you're in the ball and you're set. You get like three movies in.
Yep.
On the upside, you don't need the screen brightness up very high because you cannot see shit in here. It's very dark.
Crammed in.
Yeah, we are crammed in.
I have noticed that there does seem to be like a kind of a collective shared memory hive mind kind of thing. And I can see like all the porno that Theo's jacked off to in his lifetime. Yeah. And I got to say, surprisingly normal.
It's very normal, yeah.
It's all pretty regular stuff in there.
Yeah.
Nothing two good people, for me. I better look up something people, interesting on my phone. People.
Yeah.
Two people.
V on V. M on V.
Lady and a guy. Lady and a guy. Lady and a guy.
Just searching the term lady and a guy.
Straight into Pornhub. Lady and... I think I'm going to go for a guy.
Typing heterosexual into the search.
A gentleman and a lady, please, and thank you.
Just Theo self-consciously sort of talking out loud while alone in a room and typing into Pornhub. And I think maybe a lady and a guy this time.
Yeah, lady and guy this time, I think, maybe.
Man and woman caught in moment of indiscretion.
Yeah.
Man and woman making friends.
The whole spectrum available at my fingertips to bring up basically anything I can like. I think I'm going... got to go with the classic, lady and a guy.
Oh, it's got to be lady and a guy.
That's one of the staples. That's the bottom of the porn pyramid. The bottom layer is held up by a 50-50 ratio of men and women.
Yeah.
And they're having sex. Theo, can I ask sort of a little inside the podcaster's studio?
Oh, please, come inside.
Oh. Huh? how did you... Where were you when you were first hit by the idea for rolling mass of... head oriented towards the center of human beings.
Okay, I need you to bleep. I'm gonna describe it, but I'm gonna need you to bleep the name of the game. Okay, because
you might have said it wrong.
Because it is just such a beautiful twist of a fantastic game that I do not want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't played it yet.
Okay.
But there is a game, and it starts off as a very kind of in media res. Game where very little is explained to you, and you get further and further into the situation that you're in, and kind of no sign, like it's more like a George Orwell 1984 thing going on, and no sign that anything is weird happening until like the last 15 minutes, until which point you are sucked up into an assumed into a psychic fleshy ball of people, and then you just go bug wild. The last 15 minutes of the game is you just crashing out the side of this research facility, like, and then going out into the forest and into the ocean. It fucking rocks. It's one of the best turnarounds of a game ever made, and I didn't even say the name of it, so you don't know.
Okay, I like the idea now that instead of saying which game it was and spoiling the ending. You have spoiled the ending for just potentially any game.
Any game
I'll be playing, I'll be waiting.
It could be waiting. Yeah, yeah, I still need you to finish Bloodborne.
I still
as
need
well,
to,
by the way.
Yeah. Well, the moment you started saying this, because I saw someone the other day saying something about Bloodborne having a big twist in it at some point, and I was like, I didn't think it was that sort of game.
No, that was Theo.
I didn't
that
think either,
me.
and I didn't. I didn't know it going into it, despite having like. Ambiently taken in a bunch of facts from Bloodborne, so it's very well hidden, except for now you know. It's 2015, it's been out for 10 years. You had your chance.
Now you know that there is a twist.
There is a twist in the game Bloodborne.
Okay,
so look out. It's
but
really
it's not,
good it's really it's not, good it's not a cheap thing. It's such a beautiful like mutation of world building that FromSoft is so good at doing. I love it.
It's a really hard video game. I kept having my ass kicked by weird guys.
Yeah, look, we'll get you past the bridge. It's fine. You get past the bridge. You don't even need to go over the bridge to progress. You got it. There's a little spot on the left where if you explore it, you can roll through some barrels and stuff, and you can come back to the bridge after you're a bit stronger.
And kill some little rats, and then the werewolves will be no big deal.
I don't like that. I think a game should be easy.
Yeah,
should be easy for me to play.
Yeah, or maybe they should put an easy mode in it for people that are like having trouble with it.
Yes, for people who, like, they're kind of, okay, I don't want to, but, like, cool guys like me, I don't do a lot of gaming.
Yeah, because it's like I'm not a big gamer. It's just kind of fun little relaxation for me.
Like, the skills I've cultivated are sort of non-computer-based skills, and I exercise those in the non-computer realm. But then when I go on the computer, it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah!
Okay, so one last thing I'll say about Bloodborne and the FromSoft kind of thing. I swear, as soon as you're able to start assigning experience points, Bloodborne and all of the FromSoft stuff has a negative feedback loop in that the worse you do, the more experience you gain and the more able you are to take the next challenge.
Okay.
The more you die, the more you pick up your souls that you've dropped and it gets added onto what you're carrying. And so it has...
Unless you die again and then you can't pick them up.
Well, you get... But through enough times, you kind of get to the point where you've leveled up a bit more and you're able to take the challenge that you weren't previously.
This is the episode where somebody got his girlfriend to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Check out Bloodborne and the other game I can't name.
I've been playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure, which is very similar in that, you know, yes. It's kind of a grind. You've got to give a lot of gifts. Sometimes you don't really feel like giving the gifts, but you really need to level up your friendship with Tuxedo Sam before you can complete some of the other quests. So
Bloodborne's very much like that.
Very much like Hello Kitty
Island
Adventure.
Except there's a doll with her feet out.
Hey, a strange world populated by odd little freaks. Are we talking about Hello Kitty Island Adventure, Bloodborne, or America? It's time for America Watch.
America.
This comes to us from the Du Bois County Free Press. Now, before I read this headline, actually, I just want to prime you guys. This is not a particularly exciting or outwardly hilarious story.
Okay.
And last time I said that on the podcast, it was a setup to a twist.
Yes.
This time I've been completely sincere. I ummed and ahed about including this bunch because on the whole, not a hugely interesting story. It is just a really oddly written slice of regular American life. But you're not going to, there's no diarrhea, there's no cum, there's no, you're not going to like, oh, a horse got exploded or whatever.
Boring.
It's just a regular story.
No, Andrew, shut up. Ben. Ben, it's, don't.
Never heard him say that before.
Ben, don't worry. Don't worry about it, buddy. It's okay. We know you don't need that. You don't need to intro it with that. We trust you. I'll just open a browser and start reading some of the content.
This is from the Du Bois County Free Press. Bob Pfister, not on my land.
No.
This isn't going to end up with you handcuffed and on the ground or anything like that, Chief Deputy Jesus Menares told Bob Pfister Friday morning.
No, if anything.
I'd hate to be a Pfister handcuffed on the ground.
You can't handcuff Bob Pfister.
You can't handcuff Bob.
He needs those.
Right there in the name.
I think that's actually an instrumental song by Primus, You Can't Handcuff Bob Pfister. Bob had refused Mid-States Corridor surveyors access to his property. He knew they were coming Friday since they'd called on Wednesday to say they would be there. Locke Mueller and INDOT are moving forward with the Tier 2 survey work after the injunction filed in Du Bois County Circuit Court was recently approved. The Pfister land is located near Hooterville at the end of...
Sorry, stop. Pardon.
Okay. All right. You guys said, like, your comedy brains are so switched on, you're trying to find funny stuff in this to make it exciting.
Yeah, just searching for the Pfister land at Hooterville?
This is like how I would name my suburbs in SimCity 4. Oh, Pfister land? Yeah, it's just down the road from Hooterville.
Ask Hooterville's the
farming
attendant.
The farming one.
You want to turn left at Hooterville. Oh, we don't Pfister go down property? To Pfister land
Don't go
anymore.
Down near the Pfister property.
Oh, you want to get to Pfisterville, hey? Well, I wouldn't start from Hooterland.
The Pfister land is located near Hooterville at the end of Trainer Lane off of State Highway 164.
Stop it.
Bob and his wife, Kathy, who both have family ties to land, have been slowly piecing together property, the nearly 58 acres over 26 years.
Oh, Kathy Fistel?
Quote, I bought the first piece in 99, Bob explained. That was 11 acres. Then we got 6 acres. Then we got 40 acres. Last year, Purdue and the state designated the acreage as a certified tree farm. For Bob, the area represents a heritage of family and soil. Quote, it's the essence and beauty of nature.
Yes.
It's your soul, yes, he said.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you can imagine in like 100 years, they've kept this all in the family, right? From
Fister family.
Yeah.
From Fister to Fister.
From Fister to Fister, all the way down the Fister line.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, look, this land, this has been Fister land for 100 years.
Generations of Fisters.
Yeah.
He and Kathy's families have ties to the land and its surrounding properties. Before Bob bought it, the property was in the hands of a cousin who Bob thinks planted hardwood trees in the cornfields to form the forest it is now.
Oh, Cousin Fister?
Quote, to think my great-grandmas played in this valley. Great-grandma Fister?
Great-grandma Fister?
I'm never clicking on that video, by the way. I see that pop up. I'm not.
That's not for me.
That's not
I for see me. That. I move on. That's for somebody else.
Look, it takes all kinds. At least I know with Cousin Fister, it's an abstract kind of thing they're putting on. It's a genre.
I know that's not your cousin. Like, I know that's not her cousin. Mm.
But a great grandma does have to have some attributes.
Yeah.
Yeah. On maps posted on the Mid-States Corridor website, a portion of Bob and Kathy's property falls within the 2,000-foot proposed path of the highway that cuts around to the east of Huntingburg and Jasper before reconnecting near Hayesville.
Oh. They got a Fister corridor there?
Survey crews are working to determine the placement of the 200-foot-wide corridor within the 2,000-foot-wide path.
Yeah, you probably have to force it through.
Enough now.
Grow
Let's
up.
Let's be serious.
This is a tragic tale of a man's ancestral land being divvied up.
Preparation. This is what they're doing.
Start small.
They're setting themselves up for success.
Go wider. The final path of the road could cut up to a 10-acre corner out of Bob's property. It also seems it will block the current access road to the property. On top of not knowing how he will get to the property, Bob says the highway will ruin the beauty of the forest he's been cultivating from cornfields since that first purchase.
Mm.
Around 9 a.m., two vehicles pulled down the rock road to the entrance of Fister's tract of hardwood forest.
Come on.
Hardwood?
You don't like Fister's tract?
Fister's tract of hardwood forest?
Oh, that used to be Fister Forest.
which covers hills and is dotted with open meadows and a pond on top of one of the hills.
Oh, that's delightful.
Sounds idyllic.
Yeah, I'd love to check out the Fister fields.
Bob, his close friend Angel Dubon, and Huntingburg farmer Dave Ring wait expectantly as they grow up. Come on!
Fister and Ring?
Fister and Ring.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're forming a sort of Ring-Fister combine.
Well, you don't... Yeah, it's one that people love to say when they see an image of, you know, such a thing. They say, no ring. But here, they've got the ring.
They've got the ring.
Yeah.
They wait expectantly as the survey crew bustles around in their SUV, putting on safety vests and gathering gear.
You've got to be safe. You got to be safe when you're doing this stuff.
Mm.
At one point, Bob looks at me and says, quote, I don't think it's my responsibility to approach them. They should come to me.
A shy Fister.
As he turns to walk back to his nearby truck, he looks back and says, I really don't like this. He's talking about the confrontation that's about to occur. Bob says he is a pretty joyous guy and doesn't have an issue with the people doing the work.
Love to describe myself as joyous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet he is a joyous guy.
We're mixing up tenses in this this article. It's really, it's confusing
they keep
me.
Switching perspective as well in a way that I find quite confusing.
Mm. So he's not a fight Fister, he's a flight Fister.
Yeah.
I don't know, you'll see. He's talking about the confrontation. Bob says he's pretty joyous. He waits until one vested surveyor walks up the gravel road, apparently beginning the work. Bob calls out, and another Lock Mueller Group crew member at the truck walks over to him as the one going up the road stops walking and turns to watch. Bob tells them he didn't receive proper notice. He has a paper that states Lockmuller has to give 5 days advance notice before coming onto the property. He says he was notified by phone on Wednesday. Bob tells the surveyors multiple times that they are safe. He's just not going to let them do their work on the property. After a few minutes, the crew leaves and Bob decides to call the sheriff's department. Bob tells them what occurred and why he didn't allow them on the property. He hangs up, expecting a visit, but not really sure what will happen after that. About 45 minutes later, Du Bois County Chief Deputy Jesus Menares pulls down the gravel road. Menares explains it isn't like in the old days when people are arrested and wrestled from their properties.
Yeah.
Quote, this is a legal dispute that will be handled in court, he tells Bob.
Okay. Then he shot him in the head.
And then he killed him and his whole family. He explains that he's there simply as a mediator between the two parties. But he tells Bob that the order effectively gives Lockmuller the right to go on the property now. Bob says he's not going to allow them to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Menares tells him that he can do that, but Lockmuller and INDOT will likely go back to the judge to show that he's in contempt of the court order. He'll likely be cited back to the court. Bob looks down. Well, that makes me sad, he says, before looking back up at Menares. Bob. I don't have any contempt in my heart for the judge.
Bob.
Quote, it's just the term used for this situation, Menares explains.
Oh, my God.
Quote, I know, Bob affirms. I'm not letting them on my land. That's it. That's the article.
I don't have any contempt in my heart for the judge.
Yeah, I don't hate that judge.
Yeah. I'm talking about
I never even met
personally.
That guy.
Contempt of who?
We didn't really hear much from Hole, did we?
Ring.
From Ring.
Yeah. I want to hear more from Ring. More from Kathy Fister.
Hey, we're lucky no one in this story got clipped. It's time for the clipping report. A man in North Miami Beach, Florida, accidentally shot himself in the leg after dropping his gun in a Walmart.
Yeah, classic. All right.
Butterfingers.
Yep, staple of the genre. A man accidentally shot himself at Lynn Haven Superior Gun and Pawn in Lynn Haven, Virginia. I also found a news story from November 2021 when a man accidentally shot himself at Lynn Haven Superior Gun and Pawn in Lynn Haven, Virginia.
Huh. Wow.
Are Americans interacting with pawn shops in a different way than we are? Because, like, occasionally, like, I was parked in a cash converter's car park this morning because I do not respect them.
Yes. Even though the sign said parking for cash converters customers only?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
it
God.
Did.
If you're listening to this, please don't report Theo to
please
the police.
Please do
all
not
right?
report me to the police.
Yeah. I don't want any trouble.
But like, you know, and I know there's class distinctions happening here and that sort of stuff, but I feel like the American pawn shop is sort of overlapping our Australian pawn shop plus like our secondhand stores sort of.
Yeah, because we've only really got cash converters.
Because we've just got
we
cash
don't really
converters.
Have pawn shops we, as, that's as a
shop
concept
that,
otherwise,
that you
right?
Go to, yeah, that's the shop you go to purchase stolen goods.
Yes.
Yeah.
The America's pawn shops do seem to actually have stuff that you might want, whereas by and large, Australian ones are just like
DVDs, DVD players.
Units. Yeah. Because that's what people that have stolen goods are trying to flip. But also, yes, they're just serious. So much more expensive than any other way of buying secondhand stuff. They are shops of desperation for people.
Well, you can go in there and pick up a payday loan at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get some good Blu-rays sometimes at a cash converters.
They've like got to be making their money on the payday loans, right? Because who's actually shopping at cash converters? Like the people
Maybe
are
someone.
Selling them stuff and getting very little money for it, but then they have shops full of stuff.
Yeah,
but here's
must
the thing.
Second part
they,
to it, yeah.
But they sell the secondhand stuff, and by secondhand we mean stolen.
Stolen.
They,
yeah.
they
stolen
sell things. The stolen stuff for way more than you think they should be selling it for.
Yeah, it's a classic bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
and
beautiful
they don't give
business
you much
model,
money
really.
For it.
Yeah.
So, but who is
who
the purchaser?
A DVD
I'm sure
player.
Some of our listeners are purchased from cash converters. We should also clarify that although our accents are very silly, we are saying pawn with a W.
Yes.
Pawn.
Can you distinguish between pawn. The two in an American accent? Pawn, pawn. Pawn,
with,
porn.
With
porn.
Porn. Yeah.
Porn.
The second one
pawn?
Said with scorn.
Porn.
It took me a really long time
pawn.
To realize that porn. Porn stars show, that's like a...
It's a pun.
That's a pun.
Yeah.
For like pornography. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not talking about pornography.
Porn. No. Not porn. Not right now.
No. Not that was anymore. Earlier. That was just briefly.
Earlier and later.
The start. Yeah. Two 22-year-old men were cleaning their guns in Stockton, California, when one of them accidentally shot both himself and the other man.
Classic. All right. So,
two 22-year-old men next to each other, each cleaning their own gun.
Yeah.
One accidentally shot. Got hey, both of them.
Does this barrel look clean to you? I don't know. You look in my barrel and you tell me if it looks clean.
So just sitting next to each other, cleaning their guns at the same time, and
yeah,
maybe both of them kind of fired at the roughly the same time.
Yeah.
The thing is, another guy's cleaning his gun right next to you and you're cleaning your gun, and then like it's natural to get a little competitive.
You can start cleaning his gun and he can start cleaning yours. Like,
and then you're both cleaning your guns really fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're both.
You're not excitement.
You're not
you know,
even close to accidentally firing yours, but then he starts to do these sort of. You're like, oh, he's getting close, and then you
he's
feel
gonna
something.
Fire his gun.
Yeah, maybe I should fire my gun. You know,
all of a sudden
fire.
I can't.
I'm going to fire my gun.
I can't stop my gun.
I'm
from
firing my gun.
I got both of us.
Anyone feel like their gun's about to fire?
Oh, not anymore, because you shot me.
Two men were turkey hunting in Madison, New Hampshire, when they became separated and were on opposite sides of a wooded area.
Yes.
When a turkey passed through it, with one hunter firing at the turkey and hitting the other man in the shoulders and face.
That's just terrible discipline. Also, I would hate to be shot in the shoulders and face.
Yeah. That's a wide area for it to be shoulders. Got hit with a shotgun.
Yeah.
I can't decide whether I think that this is more of a Looney Tunes scenario in the sense of either the turkey was aware of this and went between
them. Oh, deliberately split them?
Yeah, the in order trap. To trick. Or, you know how sometimes in a Looney Tunes cartoon, the like antagonist animal will just be kind of completely unaware of the stuff that's happening around it, just cruising through.
Of the chaos that they're causing?
The turkey,
yeah, yeah. They're just strolling through while someone tries to do something to them.
Are we sure? I mean, I assume there was a turkey at some stage, but are we sure that there was a turkey present when he got shot? Or did he just hear something ruffling in the trees? Because this man got shot in the shoulders and head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, just like a direct...
Yeah, I think generally...
The hit marker has gone off.
Like, the part of a turkey that you want to hit, I think, is about 5 foot off the ground generally. So, yeah that checks
out. Yeah, you want to hit the mid-flight, and that happens to be around the center mass of a person's head.
I think this was actually a pair of guys who had been having an argument about something just before this point, and then one of them said, yeah, why don't you go look for the turkey over there?
You walk over there.
I think I heard the turkey over there. Oh, there's the turkey! Bang.
Oh, he's 5 feet tall.
Oh!
Biggest turkey I've ever seen.
A 41-year-old man was walking down a road in Nackney, Indiana, when another turkey hunter mistook him for a turkey and shot him with a 12-gauge shotgun.
What's going on with turkeys? What's going on with your turkeys?
Yeah.
You what mistook kind of a man for a turkey?
Yeah.
Oh, so what you kind of hats and hunting vests are your turkeys wearing?
They've started wearing orange. The turkeys are wearing orange. The system's not working anymore.
You're getting ready to go out hunting some turkeys, and you're like, oh, what should I take today? My little bolt action? No, I think I might pack the
I'm going to take the... You can't say that anymore. I'm going to take the...
It's French. It doesn't mean the same.
Do I beep that? I'll be
it's
the judge.
Not, it's not a slur. It's the name of the
It's
gun.
Still the same. You mentioned distinction? Is that what you're saying to me?
No, it's not. It's different from that.
It actually means to slow down.
A 28-year-old police officer at Athens, Georgia, was practicing dry fire drills in his apartment when he accidentally fired a round through a neighboring apartment.
Ah, he made That's your drill wet.
Shit. He wet fired.
He wet fired on your dry drill?
Yeah. A large group of high school students in Eufaula, Alabama, were putting balloons up around a school as a senior prank when a police officer arrived and fired a round into a car full of teenagers.
What? Why did he do that?
Because he's a cop in Alabama. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's I saw some interviews afterwards of the families of the people that were in the car.
Oh my God.
And they were all black students, and somehow the white kids that had participated in it were not shot at. So you tell me.
Cool.
Jesus rocked up and...
Yeah, he's just like, oh, shit, some kids are putting some balloons up. Blow! Yeah. Blow,
blow,
blow.
And what are we doing to this officer? We peeling him or are we...
We should probably peel him and dip him. Yeah. Peel him and dip him, boys!
Yeah. Peeling increases the bioavailability so they can be more effectively dipped.
A civilian employee of the Philadelphia Sheriff's Office grazed his thigh after accidentally firing a personal firearm while sitting at his desk.
How personal are we talking?
What are you doing? Like, what are you fucking doing? You're at work. You're like sitting at the computer.
Yeah.
Because you would. We've talked about this. It's like, if your gun's there, you're probably going to fucking play with it. You need to put it away.
There are so many, like, actions on a gun.
Yeah.
To, like, you're going to go, like,
it's like a fidget cube. You pull the thing. Get a fidget cube instead.
They should make the mechanisms on guns less satisfying to operate.
Less satisfying, yeah.
Like, the click is, like, really weak, or the slide is, like, kind of rough.
Yeah.
Like a really unpleasant tactile feel.
Yeah, the slide should feel, even though it doesn't, they should introduce an artificial element that makes the slide feel like there's a bunch of sand in it.
Bunch of sand.
Yeah, like it crunches.
Yeah. Oh, I won't do that over and over and over and over and over, I say. Yeah.
And pulling the trigger should electrocute you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have to really want it. You got to really want it.
You should have to cop one like, because it's deadly force. You should have to take one electric shock first just to confirm for everyone in the situation that this is really serious.
That's right. Yeah. Every time you fire your gun, it should take 100 mils of blood.
Yes. Yeah. You know when like RCA cables from a like improperly grounded device and touching the end of them doesn't like give you a really painful electric shock? It just feels really fucking annoying.
Yeah. Mm.
They should put that in the whole gun. Yeah.
Yeah. They should make them out of uranium so the police get radiation poison.
They should make the guns out of pure poison.
Yeah. How bad do you want to be a cop?
How bad? Yeah.
How much do you want to kill? Hey, the guy that fired a gun at his desk was probably a minor celebrity at work that day. We talk about celebrities in Celebrity Watch. This comes to us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Marvel actor says he died in Tahoe accident. I could see my lifetime.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
We know who it is. My friend. Well, I mean,
yeah. Who else do we know who had a near-death experience in Tahoe?
Calling him Marvel actor is really funny. It feels like a neg, explain who he is.
Yeah. It's also not particularly juicy clickbait because you're like, you look at it and you're like, he was in a Marvel movie and he nearly died. In Tahoe. Oh, it's Jeremy Renner. It's not like you're
clicking
on the article.
Usually those clickbait is like a really like low-grade actor.
Yeah, and they're trying to juice it up a little bit. Yeah. They're saying Marvel actor and they mean John Favreau.
I saw an article the other day where he was talking about how you know how they make the standalone series of things. And he made a series of Hawkeye. And then he got run over by his snowplow. And then when he was recovered, he said, yeah, and they said, hey, you want to do Hawkeye season 2? We'll give you half as much money as we gave you for the first season.
Yeah, I saw that today, actually, yeah.
And he was like, no. And I said, hey, fuck you. Am I worth half as much money simply because I was run over by a snowcat?
Like,
just
probably.
Because I look kind of puffy now?
Yeah.
Because of the incident? People want a puffy Hawkeye.
You have to CGI every shot of me like running now because I can't really...
Just give him alcoholism. Do like Dark Hawkeye.
Yeah. Yes, really... Dark Hawkeye.
Dark Hawkeye. That's why his face is so puffy.
He's been hanging
He's
out
on
in
the pierce.
Osaka drinking just tons and tons of asahis.
He's been at the izakaya in Osaka drinking too much asahi.
He's had so much yakitori. It's just unrecognizable. Nick Fury walks through the door. Well, brother, it looks like you had far too much edamame. Jeremy Renner may have survived his harrowing Lake Tahoe snowplow accident in 2023, but the actor recently revealed that he briefly died while waiting for paramedics to arrive at the scene.
How briefly?
Quote, "As I lay on the ice, my heart rate slowed, and right there, on that New Year's Day, unknown to my daughter, my sisters, my friends, my father, my mother, I just got tired," the Modesto actor wrote in his debut memoir, My Next Breath, released on April 29th.
Oh.
Quote, "After about 30 minutes on the ice of breathing manually for so long, an effort akin to doing 10 or 20 push-ups per minute for half an hour, that's when I died." We lost Jeremy Renner. We didn't even know. We were just having a normal day, and we didn't even feel the shining light.
This sounds so fake.
Yeah.
I actually remember that day because I just suddenly grew very cold and vomited all over my kitchen floor.
The sun went behind the clouds.
Yeah.
We said, "What's wrong?" Direction.
My children said, "What's wrong, Daddy?"
Said, I don't know.
Crow called out.
I feel like one of the brightest lights in entertainment just went out.
Papa, oh, there it is.
Papa, why does it feel sad in here now? Something's happening to Jeremy Renner.
I'm not sure. I'm having a vision that we might not get a second and third season of renovations.
Renner was in critical condition with 30 broken bones in January 2023 after being crushed by a snowplow in an effort to save his nephew, then 27-year-old Alex Fries, from the same fate. Now, we've talked about this quite a lot, the Jeremy Renner snowplow incident. I didn't realize the nephew was 27. I'd been picturing like a child nephew. Yeah. This is still a beautiful, noble thing that only someone with the training of a Marvel actor could do.
Renner's heart is pure. We have no doubt of that.
Yes.
Unless he's actually done a bunch of dodgy shit, in which case we're always sus on it. Please tell us that he still has enough bones left to play the guitar.
Oh, you know he's still playing the guitar. What is it
even
with,
if he has to play with his feet?
Really successful, rich actors still feeling compelled to put up Instagram videos where they're playing mediocre music.
Yeah.
You just don't do it. Do that in the privacy of your own home like we all do.
You don't have to post it online. Alan
you
Richson,
ruins
I'm
your
looking
vibe,
at you.
Alan Richson.
It's really kind
Alan
of killing
Richson.
The vibe, Alan Richson.
The face Alan Richson makes while he sings his shitty songs on his Instagram videos.
I don't think I've ever been so immediately lost any form of attraction to a person in my life.
I would have done anything for him. Anything he asked. Flip me upside down, turn me inside out, whatever you want.
I hope you don't pick me up.
Do it to me. And then I watch those videos. I've deflated. My whole body is deflated.
Ooh.
He's got the Christian rock singer face on when he does it.
And he sings in a really high-pitched thing. Sorry if you're listening, Alan.
Falsetto.
Alan. Love you.
Dude,
nice.
We love you. Reacher. Love your body. And,
he could use to gain 10 kilos of fat, probably. A little bit more fat on the body.
A little bit more body hair, actually. I think that guy waxes.
Computer, can we get up a husky Alan Richson?
Can we get a husky hirsute Alan Richson, and he's wearing a gold chain.
Computer, render Alan Richson bear.
Can we make him a little more Mediterranean?
Slightly more ethnic. A little bit more ethnic.
Little bit more. Is he Lebanese, maybe? Little bit of Lebanese.
Computer, give me a 20% Greek Alan Richson.
Okay. Now,
Cyprian
let's
Alan
see
Richson?
if Slav squat works.
The Hawkeye star sustained injuries to his lung, liver, shoulder, and pelvis, among other body parts. But obviously, you've listed the four top line items. And he had to take the year to recover before slowly easing back into the public eye. Quote, "I know I died. In fact, I'm sure of it," Renner continued, explaining that the EMTs said his heart rate had bottomed out at 18, meaning that he was basically dead.
So you weren't dead.
It sounds like you weren't dead.
I don't think even that wouldn't even cheat the Final Destination death.
Yeah. We were just watching Final Destination. Eleanor wants to start from the beginning and go all the way through the series.
Oh, you
and
should.
Then watch
every single movie is fantastic. So great choice.
I can't do it. I'm such a bitch. The shower one in the first movie, holy dooly, that is.
Because here's the thing, it could happen to you.
No, it couldn't. No, it couldn't.
It's probably, look, let's be real. It's probably going to happen to you.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
And people
tomorrow.
Will be like, it's so sad. It's so sad that he died that way. And Theo will be like, he'd never do that. He'd never do that. All the suspicion would be on him. Devon Sawa looks like shit in that movie.
Yeah.
But that was the style at the time.
That was the style at the time, you know? Yeah. He had the, everybody in that movie, because it's from like 2000, everybody in that movie's got the, like, gelled up fringe at the front. Everybody looks like that fucking kid from the Inbetweeners, you know?
That's just what guys look like then.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Style.
You put a little bit of gel on both your hands. You rub them together. You put one hand so that the hair at the front,
just the front,
of your fringe goes between the fingers. Then you use that to go up and out. And then you spike it up forwards and upwards.
Oh, well, when we were talking about this, I was miming what I was miming my own approach to it from however many years ago, which was putting one hand like kind of on the top of your head to like
keep the rest
be a little
dead
scaffolding.
Flat.
And then you push the hair up, but it's against that hand. You're forming a little sculpting surface for it, you know?
I wonder if that's coming back.
And then you got to desperately hope nobody touches your hair and breaks up the stiff gel into a powder.
It's a very unpleasant texture, isn't it?
Very bad. Very bad. Let's not do that. Let's not do that anymore. Yeah.
Kids, we're telling you, you might think it's the height of coolness to gel the front of your hair up into little spikes, but it's kind of gross. And it doesn't look good, not even ironically, all right? No. Knock it off. The greatest danger to Renner at that moment, he wrote, was hypothermia. He was left on the ice for 45 minutes with Fries and his neighbors as they waited for help to arrive.
But did he already eat his burger?
Oh!
Sorry, this guy's name's Fries. It's really funny. Yeah.
It could be like Freeze or something. I could be pronouncing wrong. I don't know.
It's very funny. Not to imagine Jeremy Renner like crushed on the ice,
dying
and slowly dying, but to go like, I don't know what to do. Hey, buddy, you want some fries?
Yeah.
One must imagine Jeremy Renner.
You're happy. Hungry?
Yeah. These chippies will give him strength.
Yeah. I had no idea this was an uncle nephew situation.
Me too.
A life saving uncle? All of us can dream of having one of those.
Mm.
You know, just in your moment of need, you think you're about to fucking go well before your time until an uncle steps in and intervenes like the Twilight car park scene.
How many of us get to have our lives changed forever by an uncle?
Yeah.
Take that one out.
Another person touched by an uncle.
Quote, what I felt was energy, a constantly connected, beautiful and fantastic energy. There was no time, place or space and nothing to see except a kind of electric two-way vision made from strands of that inconceivable energy, he recalled.
That's beautiful, Jeremy Renner.
I'd love
dying.
To coward punch Jeremy Renner.
You'd love to glass Jeremy Renner in a pub?
Yeah, I would. It'd feel good.
He's celebrating with one mid-strength beer after donating a bus to an inner-city high school in Detroit, and you've walked up to him and gone, ha-ha! Bam!
That's right. I feel like his wife said he was abusive or something. Like, we can hang shit on Jeremy Renner.
We can
post hoc
find a justification for this easily. No time, place, or space. How do you think he's distinguishing between place and space?
Yeah, or time and space.
Whoa.
When it comes down. Whoa. Yeah. Aren't we all energy as well?
Yes. We're all just chords played on a big old guitar string.
Yes.
Or multiple because it's a chord, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe two guitars because they're doing overdubs.
We're all strings on the big guitar, and except there's just so many strings. And the guitar sounds terrible. The guitar sounds really bad. There's billions of strings on it.
Every time you're changing chord, you're doing that thing where you do the open completely like all strings open in between.
Yeah.
Kind of fill in texture.
That's too many strings.
Sound good. Yeah, too many strings.
Quote, I could see my lifetime. I could see everything all at once. In death, there was no time. No time at all. It was also all time and forever.
Yeah.
Make up your mind.
I mean, when I first smoked weed, man.
Yeah.
I could see everything all at once. In death, there was no time, no time at all. It was also all time. That's so beautiful, Jeremy Renner.
Who let Jeremy Renner watch Terrence Malick?
Yeah.
He's not prepared for it.
He just watched Tree of Life and then got hit by a snowplow, and now he's starting to jumble stuff up in his mind. I think the thing that made me want to put this in the show is that it's very funny to me to have this completely profound view of life where you feel like you're seeing everything all at once. You're having the ultimate omniscient view of your own life.
Yeah.
And then to go back to doing regular Jeremy Renner stuff.
Yeah.
Like you could see everything and you would still choose to be Jeremy Renner.
Got to make more songs. Got to sing more songs about my daughter.
More songs about my daughter and my Jeep.
I saw behind the veil and I came to know myself, and what I saw was basically just bang on. It was just excellent. So I'm not going to change a thing about my life.
Leather jackets, gelled hair, Jeep compasses, renovating buses, playing Hawkeye. It's as good as it gets.
I saw the face of the creator. Looked a lot like me, actually.
Yeah. Winked at me.
To know that the universe is Renner and then to return to the universe as Renner.
I wonder if he's come back with the being John Malkovich thing. Just everyone he sees, Jeremy Renner. Oh,
wow. Jeremy Renner?
Imagine a world.
Jeremy Renner.
Living in
Jeremy
Renner world.
Renner. We are living in Renner world, I think. I think that's what he discovered.
It's Renner's world and we're just living in it.
It's the Renaissance.
Does explain a few things, actually.
Wouldn't it be funny if there was just one eternal soul always being reincarnated and we're all Jeremy Renner? It's just he's the only one who knows that he's Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, he's the primary soul. He's the dominant soul.
We're a way for Jeremy Renner to experience himself.
Yeah.
The quote, Avengers actor said he experienced an exhilarating peace as he bled out on the ice. And eventually felt a force telling him not to let go before he regained consciousness.
Maybe that's how I should die. Maybe I should get run over by a... Like, I'm like 72.
Yeah. Are you picking from a buffet of options of deaths?
Yeah.
There is a beautiful quiet piece to bleeding out on the ice.
Yeah, maybe that's how we should be doing, like, end-of-life care.
Yeah.
You know, everyone said goodbye to Granddad.
He wants to get run over with a snowplow.
Like a make a death wish kind of institution.
Let's get in the minibus. Let's all say goodbye. Like grandma drive the snowplow. This is how he'd want to go out.
I really like the idea that the divine force is communicating with Jeremy Renner as well. Be like, whoa, hold on. There's still more for you, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, the world needs Jeremy Renner. Renner has shared snippets from his lengthy recovery process on social media since the incident, which has included using a hyperbaric chamber to returning to an intensive workout routine. Easing back into normalcy, he returned to work on season 4 of the Paramount Plus drama series Mayor of Kingstown earlier this year and is set to appear in the 3rd Knives Out film.
Again, meeting death face to face and just being like, I'm going to go back to my Paramount Plus series and my workout routine.
Yo, Knives Out 3. I need to live. Fuck, that's so grim.
That's bleak.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy Renner almost ended up in a coffin. We talk about coffins in Coffin Watch. Comes to us from KCAL in Los Angeles, the Cal. Funeral home sued after giving Compton family the wrong corpse.
Oops.
Oopsie doopsie.
Poor bodies, perfect.
Yeah, but what were you expecting the corpse to do? Is it doing anything different from what the other corpse would be doing?
Yeah, does it really matter?
Specifically in this instance, it kind of does.
Oh.
And you'll see why very shortly. A Compton family is suing a funeral home after workers misplaced their loved one's body and dressed another corpse in his clothing.
Put a name tag on there.
It shouldn't have happened, said Nisa Mintha Hunt. I didn't make arrangements there to see the wrong body.
Well, why would you?
You wouldn't have.
No, it'd be crazy. You should see the right one, yeah.
Yeah.
Stands to reason.
Hunt chose Harrison Russ Mortuary to prepare her 80-year-old uncle for burial after he died. However, when she came back to view his body, she said it wasn't him. Quote, "It was a guy laying there in my uncle's suit, but it wasn't my uncle," Hunt said.
It's a little comical, just having to be like, "Ooh, like, it looks good. It's just, I'm sorry. I know I don't want to make your day more difficult. It's just, I just don't think that's my uncle."
I hate complaining. And
uncle.
I get that
we've got a wrong uncle situation.
He's probably someone's uncle. He's not my uncle.
I hate to complain. Crucial.
There are many uncles like it, but I want my uncle.
Yes.
How do you lose the suit but not the uncle? What do you think? They bought down the suit and said, "Could you dress my uncle in this?" And they took it out the back and went, "Oh, boy."
Yes, that is more or less what happened.
Oh, boy.
Quote, "I just kept looking at him. I'm like, he couldn't have gotten that dark." So this is a black family. This is a crucial bit of context there. They're talking about how...
they've got a darker uncle?
Yeah. They got given uncle a darker uncle. Hunt said she tried to ask a mortuary worker for help when she knew something was wrong. The worker dismissed her concerns and said the corpse was her uncle's body.
Yeah. It's amazing how many of these go this way as well. Like, pretty sure we got the right uncle.
Getting the subway treatment.
Yep. That is your uncle.
That is your uncle, actually. Yeah.
That's you will actually take the uncle, this uncle you ordered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually don't know what kind of uncle you want.
No, I'll I got tell you a better you uncle. This is the right uncle for you.
You don't recognize your own uncle? It's fucked up.
You're crazy with grief. You wouldn't recognize any uncle.
It's understandable. Once the spark of life has left a body, that you will no longer find them recognizable.
Yes. Yeah.
That is your uncle.
Oh, check real quick.
Kind of busy.
Your uncle was a black guy, you say?
Quote, "That's not my uncle," Hunt said. "My uncle wouldn't have gotten that dark. I showed a picture and she said, 'Oh, yeah, you're right. Give us 1 minute.'"
I really liked the pushing back until they pull out the photo and going,
fold
fuck.
Immediately.
Yeah. Ah, fuck. Okay.
Now, I've verified it myself now from looking at the photo and at the deceased here. Yeah, definitely that's different uncle situation. Hunt said she and her family waited 3 hours while the mortuary fixed the mix-up before they could finally bury her uncle. She still doesn't know whose body was dressed in his suit. She filed a lawsuit against the mortuary over the ordeal.
I get it, but like, I don't know if I want to go through a lawsuit at that point, you know?
It's so undignified to take the suit off an anonymous dead man to then put the suit back on your uncle.
I think honestly, you've just got to be like, leave the suit on that guy.
Yes.
Just fine, my uncle, the suit. Because
the suit's not the important part.
Don't undress a corpse for me.
Having to undress the corpse like it's like a doll, get them changed. Just leave
and they're
the
like,
suit
no, no, we do this all the time. It's fine. We do this all the time. It's fine to us.
Easy mistake to make.
It's got to be the worst. Like, there's so much latitude for mistakes in this, and it's such a high stakes thing because for someone, this is like one of the most emotional and horrible days of their life. And then to have this, like a consumer complaint type grievance happen on that day as well.
Yeah, brutal. Just like a mistake you made at work.
I feel like, you know, when you pick up some pizzas and you're not in the greatest mood and you're like, hey, I'm just going to check these pizzas just to make sure that they're actually the right ones.
Just make sure you didn't fuck
like
me.
Like in front of the counter. Like, one. Two,
personally, I would never do that, but I can see three. It in my mind's eye.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe we need the same approach for uncles.
A little uncle
to say,
check.
Hey, you know, I trust you guys, but I'm just going to do a quick uncle check.
Yes. Just a little uncle verification process.
Checking your uncle's free.
Yeah. I'm going to look in the bag of uncle before I leave the drive-through lane.
Just to be sure.
Yes. Because otherwise I've got to come back.
Got to drive around.
Got to do this all. Yeah.
Sometimes people will come into the bar and I'll think they're asking for a pot of something, but they've actually asked for a pint. And I put the pot up on the bar top and they go, oh, actually, no, sorry, I was asking for a pint. And I go, oh, I'm a silly duffer. Let me sort that out for you. Or sometimes I get them the wrong beer and I go, you know what? I'll drink this one. I'll get you your one. And it's kind of like not a big deal and it's like fine because people make mistakes when you do like repetitive tasks like quite a lot. And these guys,
like
you can't
uncles.
Just be like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I thought you asked for the other uncle. You don't get that moment of like human kind of we all make mistakes. You just get someone who's like, already been crying all day is probably just crying angrier now.
Yeah. I feel like when you get to like your, like you've been doing a job for like 10 or 15 years, right? You kind of, one of the things I kind of start seeing and saying is like, where's your process? Okay, we had this happen 5 times. Like, we can fix the problem. We can put the right uncle in the right suit.
Yeah.
But how do we prevent it from happening again? How do we prevent it? You need a checklist. You need to say, have you checked that this is the correct uncle on a checklist?
Quick visual reference, yeah.
And if it's ticked off, it needs to be signed by somebody else. And if you've still got a wrong uncle, well, then you're in trouble because someone signed off on the uncle.
They should have a quality control. They need to have one level higher of signing off on each uncle for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm thinking is uncle verification AI. You train an AI on uncle faces and it does a little UI? Biometric scan.
Yeah.
That's right.
I feel like, though, given that this is 2 black uncles, that the AI probably...
Oh, well, like an inherently racist technology is probably not like the best.
Might not have stepped in.
Be what happened here. They were probably using real-time uncle AI. Well,
they've got uncle AI?
Yeah.
Like an uncle vision?
It's just gone, you know, because it was trained by a corpus of racist data by racists. Software engineers. Yeah. So, you know.
I wouldn't make a fuss, though. I'd see that guy. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I would know it's not my uncle, but I'd be like, no, it's fine. It's totally fine.
Yeah. He's probably an uncle.
I think I'd let them know so that they could sort of check their processes, but I'd say, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about this one. Just for next time.
For next time. I'm not mad at you.
Like a historically bad mood on Friday, and I went to my local cafe, beautiful people, and I ordered from the phone because I didn't want to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And then the lovely barista came out and she gave me my coffee in a takeaway cup. And I said, oh, I thought I ordered this in a have here cup. And she's like, do you want me to, I can switch that out for you now if you want. I was like, no, it's all good now. And I felt so guilty afterwards for being so rude. But you kind of have to go like, okay, it's the wrong uncle. I'm going to roll with it.
Yep.
There's no point crying over swapped uncles.
Yes.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think as well, you do kind of have to do a bit of your own internal training to say, even if you do have like an initialed form on the clipboard that says, I've checked the uncle, and someone in front of you is saying, that's not my uncle, you should probably listen to the person there instead of saying, no, I got it on the form. I got it on the form here.
Their expertise re that uncle vastly outweighs your own in that situation.
They've got a lot more uncle hours than you.
You need to believe people when they say that's their uncle.
That's right. If someone tells you that's not their uncle, believe them.
Believe them.
And we've got to go on the bell curve here and say it's probably far more likely that you have made a mistake about an uncle that you do not know or recognize than there is like a real edge case possibility that someone's just kind of funning with you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that one's not my uncle. And then you bring out another uncle and they go, that's still not my uncle.
Yeah. And now you're just sort of parading out.
Got any more uncles?
Oh, that's pretty good.
If you'd 30 uncles?
Not him.
No.
Get another one.
maybe that's what happened to this person who's just like, no, that's definitely your uncle because they've had that happen before. They had someone come in and get them to swap out 7 uncles.
Like, lady, there's no more uncles. And you're like, check in the back.
More uncles.
You are coated. You're like lathered in sweat from putting 7 different uncles into the same suit.
No. Turns out they were just messing with you.
Actually, you know what? Can I see number 2 again? Can you bring up in the suit?
Yeah.
Oh, that was him. That was him the whole time.
Oh, it was the first one. I'm so sorry. I was crazy with grief.
You don't necessarily always know the right uncle until you see the wrong uncle.
Yeah. It's 2,000 ways not to present an uncle.
You know what it is? My uncle was usually wearing a hat. I just didn't recognize him without the hat. Sorry.
Sort of on you for not putting the hat on him, actually. Yep.
Where is my uncle's hat? Can you look out the back?
Quote, for them to come in and see the wrong corpse and for the mortuary to deny it's the wrong corpse, we just think it's really just a basic standard of care that they messed up on, attorney Elvis Tran said. They really need to improve their ways so they don't do this to another family. Harrison Ross Mortuary denied the claims. Funeral Home said it is preparing to file a cease and desist letter against Hunt. So they contest this You right there, Andrew?
He's contesting it.
How come you've muted yourself for?
He's stuck on Elvis Tran.
I think he's stuck on Elvis Tran.
I'm also stuck on Theo's reaction to Elvis Tran, actually. It just kind of took him for a second, and that really tickled me.
There's this bit in one of the 40K books where they try, like they work out that like they get a whole bunch of people. It's like monkeys at a typewriter where they're just trying like pieces of meaning against other pieces of meaning to see if they're like a word of power. And so you say Elvis Tran and suddenly my brain is just going, ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. Nothing good, actually.
There's yeah, no, interesting. But it sounds fertile, doesn't it?
There's no meat on those bones.
Yeah. Hunt said she's still haunted by the ordeal of seeing someone else in the suit she picked out for her uncle. Quote, "It's hurting," she said, "to view the wrong corpse. I can still see that guy."
I can still see some guy.
Something about this genre of story that is crazy to me is that the unbelievable like depersonalization of the mistaken body, the other body, where like for them this is a huge fucking ordeal because they expected to see their uncle and didn't, and that would have been a really meaningful moment. But the fact that like someone else's uncle got sort of paraded out and put in the wrong suit or whatever, it's just kind of completely dismissed from the story.
There's no like identity of the uncle as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be mad if I was that guy's family. Like you're just parading my uncle around to other families.
No wonder they don't reveal him, because then you got two problems.
Yeah.
The other family catches wind of this. Say
you're getting double sued. You're getting sued going both ways. I can still see that guy. It's just so dismissive. Whoever that fucking stiff was, I don't give a shit. Get him out of my uncle's
suit. Have been there.
Hey, I think that was definitely an episode of the podcast, Punta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us behind the paywall. It's so nice and cozy in here with you. I feel safe. I feel protected. I feel held.
Feels good in the ball. Feels good in the big bowl with you.
Love to be in the bowl. You have 4 days left to buy tickets to the live show by my maths. 3 days left to buy tickets to the live show by the time you hear this. If it's before May 31st, you still have time. It's going to be fucking psycho. It's going to be nuts.
Oh, it's going to be crazy in there.
It's going to end up in the newspaper. It's going to be absolutely buck wild. You're not going to want to miss out. If you're hearing this after May 31st, this is the last time you have to hear promo for this live show if you're just like going back through the archives. Yeah. So don't worry about it. Until then, please stay safe, look after yourself, and keep an eye on your uncle at all times.
Yes. Eyes on your uncle. Do not let him out of your sight.
Yeah. Have your uncle's back. Because you never know.
He might have your back.
He might have your back at a critical moment.
If your uncle passes away, immediately handcuff yourself to his body.
Yes.
So that he cannot be misplaced.
It is an object of power.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.